Okay, I think we're just going to go ahead and get send so we can get through the other resolutions and then we can spend the time on the legislative programs. Okay, resolution 191, establishing a policy for funding non-county organizations.
Take a motion. I'll move it for discussion.
Second. Heidi, okay. Perhaps we should hold off since the sponsor is not present. Legislator Bartels.
Did we get any changes? I know that there were some suggestions and we raised some concerns at the last meeting. Did any changes come through?
Not that I'm aware of. Natalie, did we have any changes to the resolution? I don't think so.
Okay.
So I think we should wait and let Ken talk because he had postponed it. He was waiting for more feedback. I know I gave him a lot. And so let's just be clear what he wants with this. Perhaps.
Okay. So why don't we hold off on this until he's present?
Okay.
Okay. We want to make a, do we want to postpone or do we want to wait to see if he, we'll come back to it if he joins the meeting later. How's that? Resolution 194, authorizing.
I just say that I see that yes. Vicky's saying that Ken asked for it to be postponed.
Thank you. Okay, so I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion to postpone it, Dave.
Okay.
I'll second that, Bartels.
Okay. Okay, resolution 194, authorizing the distribution of mortgage tax receipts pursuant to section 261 of the tax law.
I'll move it, Bartels.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 195, approving the execution of a contract amendment in the excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Gateway Community Industries Department of Mental Health.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second it, Bartels.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 196, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, the trustees of Columbia University and the City of New York.
I'll move it for move. Discussion. Bartels.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Legislator Bartels?
Well, I know that at the chair's meeting, I'd asked to see a copy of the plan. And since then, I know other questions have been raised. I was wondering if we got answers to the questions in terms of the personnel moves. I know this is connected with the other resolutions. So I'm just kind of
what is all the delays in the background? Someone leaving their mic on that is, now it's quiet, okay.
Right, thanks. You did receive, we did at, I think, 4 o'clock receive a response to our questions. I don't think anybody's had a chance to really take a look at it. We did email it out to all of you. I did have a question. I still can't seem to, I have a gap in the total funding based on the prior resolution, this one. And I'm showing a gap of about $68,000. So are we funding a portion of this study, Mark?
Are we funding a portion of the study? No. So where are you seeing a gap in the funding? Did you?
You're totaling, when I total up the numbers in the Columbia contract from November or October of last year, the ones that we've got before us today and the anticipated into next year, I come up with 722,966. You've got here total contract is 791,503.
791,903. What did you say? Your
722,966. I think, you know what, since we haven't had sufficient time to really look at everything and really look at the response to our question, do we want to postpone this till next week so we can get clarity on the numbers?
I'd like to.
Okay, so you'll make the motion.
I'll make a motion, Bartels.
Okay, second?
Postpone for 1 week.
I'll second it.
Okay. So let's go ahead. And Mark, we'll get back to you, but there still seems to be some discrepancy in numbers that we'd like clarity on before we move forward with this.
Sure, but the contracts, as you stated, the prior amendment was 289 and this one's 501. So those total 791. I don't know what the 720 is that you're talking about. And that would mean that there was 60,000 more revenue. Not
well, Mark, I'm going to go over the numbers with you based on what I had. So if there were changes, they're not evident here. That's why we put that message out to you, giving it to us like in half an hour, not even enough time to review any of it. So we'll hold off till next week.
Yeah, I mean, I got your email yesterday with the questions. So
yeah, yesterday morning. And I mean, if this is a program that you guys are already moving forward on, I didn't think it was going to be that hard to respond to. Resolution 197, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to, did we vote on the postponement? I apologize. No. Okay. On the postponement till next week for 196.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. On 197, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of 50 entered into by the county, James McGinnis and Associates, Department of Social Services.
So moved.
Second? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 198, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of 50 entered into by the county, Tyler Industries. This is an extension of the term of agreement for the public safety enterprise software.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay. Resolution 199, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50,000 entered into by the county, United Way, Ulster County. This is for the summer youth employment program.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Any questions? Legislator Bartels.
So this is federal funding, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And if we're not hiring for the pool, we are going to be redirecting the hiring to other places. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, we've got 38 sites lined up.
Great. Okay. That's all I wanted to clear. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Legislator Ronk has joined. I want to make sure we get him on there. Okay. Resolution 200, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, United Way, Ulster County. This is for the year-round youth employment program.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Resolution 201, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Helwick Law, LLC, Office for the Aging.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it, Heidi.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 202, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Gateway Community Industries, doing business as Gateway Hudson Valley. This is Office for the Aging.
I'll second.
This is for delivered meals. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 203, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster County. This is for replacement of the Mulberry Hollow Bridge in the amount of $150,000.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 204, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Cornell Cooperative Extension. This resolution approves the execution of the contract with Cornell to replace the Watson Hollow Culvert.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Please note that Mary Beth Mayo has joined as well. I didn't know if you got her before. Okay. Resolution 205, approving the execution of contract in excess of 50, Safeco Alarm Systems. Move.
I'll move
it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. Resolution 206, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000, Geostabilization International, LLC. This is for the contract with Geo that extends the term of the contract for slope stabilization.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 207, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with New York State Department of Health to continue the drinking water enhancement program.
Move. So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 208, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept Healing Communities study funding and create positions.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second?
Second.
Legislator Bartels.
So I would make a motion that we postpone this for a week as well. There were a significant number of questions on this one. I actually had more questions on this one than the last one. So just in order to be able to look over the answers to the questions. And I also wanted to just add, I don't know if it was in the questions that you sent, I'm just trying to understand, we're creating positions, but we're creating positions that started in April. So I'd like to get a handle on how that happens.
Sure. So Mark? These positions were created, I actually think, prior to April because they were pre-COVID. There were vacancies in the health department that were initially used as fill-as. So they were like a database, and it was a fill-as in order to get the program up and running with the first year of the healing grant, because it came in after the budget. But I believe we had already accepted the first year of funding, which accounted for the salaries for the two positions. We're just going back now and formally creating those lines, adding in the second year of funding for the HEAL grant and adding an additional third position that wasn't part of the original year one funding.
Who created these salaries?
We worked in consultation with Columbia. So this is not, I mean, this is done, I think it has 13 counties in New York State. So the salaries are very similar to the same positions that they had in various other counties throughout the state. And frankly, this is a study that's done nationwide.
But can I just ask a follow-on? Yeah. What I'm trying to understand, Mark, so you're saying you had a fill-as position, but now you're coming to the legislature to create positions. Have the positions already been created without the legislature's approval?
The positions were taking a vacancy that was currently vacant and transferring the title within the same kind of budget line to creating, yes, taking like a database clerk and turning it into the other one of these titles. We're now coming back through and formalizing everything with the funds through year two.
Okay. I'm going to have more questions on this. I'm going to have to really look at the responses to this morning's, that whatever you sent this morning, but I think the week would help.
Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So I may have been looking at it wrong, but I was trying to reconcile the numbers that were in the resolution and in the contract and in the summary. And so just so that you know what my kind of questions are ahead of time, you may not be able to fully answer it now, but it looked like the way I read the resolution, it looked like there was a, and I recognize there's the year two for HEAL, but it kind of includes mostly like 75% of it is in 2020, and then about 25% of it is in 2021. And that the, so there's comparing the contract is for them is for all of year two, but ours is a little, so it's a little wonky. So if I got a number wrong, please tell me. But it looked like for year two, it totaled with the base and fringe of the three positions about $377,770 for those three positions. But in the contract for year two, it was only $357,719. So it's sort of why it's about $20,000 different their year two total and our year two. And then the other thing that didn't make sense is when it was broken down, it looked like it was about 286, 233 for the rest of 2020, but that the request in the resolution was for 376, 390. So that confused me. And I'll send all of this to you so that you can look at it again. I don't expect you to have the answer right now. And then the other thing I was wondering about is my understanding, and I'm a part of the HEAL group, is the data coordinator job is someone who's already at the Department of Health who's just putting some of her time into this because we didn't really need a full data coordinator. And so if she's putting just a little bit of her time into this, this salary looks like it's the whole salary. So are we now, even though if she's putting 50%, 25% of her existing time into HEAL, why is HEAL covering her full salary? That part didn't make sense to me.
So this resolution is creating the whole budget line, which includes funding that would be done through the county. You're correct. We are taking the data surveillance coordinator was also a data management person in the health department who is now putting 50% of her time towards the HEAL grant. So while this is her full salary and we're creating the full salary budget line, the 79388, part of the reason why probably what you don't think matches up between the HEAL contract and the resolution is that the HEAL is only covering 50% of her salary and fringe.
That should have been identified in the resolution, Mark, which is what is creating the issue and why the numbers aren't footing. So if you're going to do that, then it should be really clear here. It took a lot for us to peel it back.
And that wouldn't explain, I mean, my numbers are, the numbers I see in the resolution versus the amount when you tally it is different by like 100,000.
I'll just quickly go through the answer that I gave in the email. If you look at the financial impact, the 376,390 and the 125,463, it equals $501,000. So if you go down to page 2 of the contract, which is in the backup, there's three columns. There's payment for the renewal amount. That's just a pool of Columbia money that can be used for both staffing and impact, community impact activities. That's 197,039. The payment for staffing activities is 166,80. That has to be used for staffing only. And then there's community impact dollars, which is 144,134. That's for programs similar to Samadhi and other things. You add those three columns up and it's 501. It's the exact same number as your financial impact for year one and year two.
That's not what I was referring to. I mean, I was focusing just on the staff, not on the 144. And those numbers, the two columns don't add up to what's in the resolution the way I saw it, and they don't, and what's in the wording of the resolution don't add up to what's in the summary of it. Again, I could have seen it wrong, but I wrote, and I'll share with you my spreadsheet, but none of those match. And I'm just talking about the staff. I took the community impact column out because obviously that's not about staff, and that's not even in these resolutions specifically. So, and I'll show it to you so that you can help.
And perhaps we can do a follow-up between now and next week to ensure that we're all on the same page with these numbers and we can foot, because I think that would be really helpful.
Sure.
And just one last question, I'm sorry. And I may have missed it, is the language still in there about this being grant fund, pending grant support? Is that still in there?
So the last resolve says all positions created will be removed when funding is no longer available unless other state, federal, or other funding is provided.
I'm on a screen. I can't switch back forth. I just had heard that someone had wanted to pull that part out. So good.
Legislator Guevaras.
Martin, did you say that the amount of 78,000, that's the total position, 76,000, that's the total position? No, I was right. 79,388,40. That's the full-time position, half of which is to be paid out of this money and half is the normal position?
Correct. She already had a position at 80,000 as a data based analyst for the county, and we're just taking and we're charging half of her time now towards the HEAL grant.
So it should reflect.
Hold on. So the total salary. The total salary prior to this was more than this number?
I think it was a few dollars more, but it was a CSEA position. This is a management position. So the overall, between fringe and salary, it was a better, package for the employee than the CSEA position that was not part of the grant. So instead of hiring from the outside, we had an employee that was interested in spending half the time towards it. Yes.
Legislator Bartels. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. You finished? You're good? Okay. Legislator Bartels.
So are we eliminating the previous position to get a savings?
Yes.
Okay, we're not backfilling the old position.
No, and remember, it's still half there. I mean, we're still using her half-time for health, half-time for this grant. So, but no, we're not replacing it with a part-time position. We're just we're just taking this as half of her salary and fringe savings towards our budget reduction.
Okay.
Okay, and there was a conversation we had with regards to changing other funding into private funding. Do we still want to move forward with that adjustment in that final resolve? Legislator Bartels.
I just think other funding could be county. I mean, other funding could be anything. It's just very vague, kind of opens it up to anything. So private funding, that's what it is right now, so... that would be more specific to me.
Okay. So are we making that amendment to make it, instead of other funding, make it private funding? And if it ends up being county funding, then they have to come back and review the plan. Legislator Bartels.
Well, if we're postponing it a week, do we want to do that next week?
We could. Yeah. Yes, that's true. So, thank you. But it should be on the table for discussion within the caucus package. All right. Any other questions that we want to give Mark a heads up on before we move on? Okay. On the postponement, all in favor? Opposed? Okay, so moved. Resolution 209, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept supplemental public health emergency preparedness funding from New York State Department of Health for COVID crisis response. Move?
I'll move it.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? So move. Resolution 210, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept supplemental public health emergency preparedness funding from New York State Department of Health for COVID response activities.
COVID.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Resolution 211, amending the 2020 budget, Ulster County budget, to accept allocation of funds from the Redlich Horowitz Foundation to support virtual family connectivity within the foster care program. Move.
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Resolution 212, setting a public hearing on the tentative budget of Ulster County Community College for the year 2020-2021 to be held Tuesday, July 14, 2020 at 6:30. Move.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So move. Resolution 213, approving the voluntary retirement incentive for eligible Ulster County Community College faculty members.
Move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 214, approving a voluntary retirement incentive for eligible Ulster County Community College professional staff members. Move.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Resolution 215, supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer 5307 urbanized area funds and 5307 funds transferred from the Rural Transportation Assistance Program, Section 5311B3, under the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, for operating costs and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding.
Move on.
Second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Resolution 216, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Ulster County Board of Cooperative Educational Services to provide a deputy sheriff as a school resource officer.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 217, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Onteora Central School District to provide a deputy sheriff as school resource officer.
I'll move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So move. Resolution 218, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Roundup Valley School District to provide two deputy sheriffs as school resource officers.
So move.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 219, establishing capital project number 571, Sheriff Live Scan Upgrade. Move.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Resolution 221, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Project LiveScan. Move.
I'll move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 222, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned properties to the original owners.
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 223, adopting the proposed local law number 3 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 2 of 2006, a local law adopting a county charter form of government for the County of Ulster, State of New York, and amending local law number 10 of 2008, a local law adopting an administrative code for the County of Ulster, State of New York, to require submission of departmental budget estimates from elected official and department heads to the legislature.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thanks. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 226, establishing and reporting the standard workday for elected and appointed officials.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 228, calling for a one-year extension of the current sales tax sharing distribution agreement between the County of Ulster and the City of Kingston. Vicki, you're shaking your head no. You're on mute there.
There is not enough sponsors for this one to move forward right now.
Oh, okay.
How many sponsors are there?
There's three on there, two other people that were willing to sign on, which includes you, Legislator Bartels, and that was where we got to.
Okay.
Anybody want to sign on to put this resolution before the body? Okay. So resolution 230. Establishing a policy requiring the reporting of all expenditures made by Ulster County in relation to the former Tech City property. Move.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second. Eve, did you?
Yeah, a second.
Okay. For discussion, Legislator Bartels.
Well, Ken, did you want to ask a question? Or do you want to?
I had questions about it, but if you want to go first, I don't.
Yeah, either way. I mean, I can go first. You know, I, in consultation with legislators Archer and Walter, and then also talking to our own finance team, you know, I thought that it would be best to create a policy where we get reporting on this one project because it's going to have multiple contracts, as we've already seen. I think there's another electrical contract that's moved through other than the Con Ed that's somewhere approaching 50,000, but it's not 50,000. And while we can, through the expertise in our own office, get to the bottom of this, it requires a lot of legwork and person hours. And so it's within our right to ask for this kind of reporting. It's not asking for approval on the smaller contracts. It's just asking that we can see what this project is costing in one place.
And I will add that we've already requested information and it's going on 3 or 4 weeks at this juncture. And to date, we still don't have the information we requested. So hopefully this will facilitate a more timely response in getting the information. Any questions, Mark?
I mean, my only concern is I don't, in the first resolved, the section that says including liabilities not yet fully executed but anticipated to be executed, I don't know. That seems somewhat vague to me and just difficult to even for the finance department to even follow through on. I mean, what is an anticipated? Is that something that we've gone out to bid on and have a quote and have a number for? Is it something that may or we may, and you know, we anticipate will happen at some point in the future? I don't know the answer to that question.
Legislator Bartels?
I'd say the intention is more of the former. You know, if you have something that's coming down the pike, we'd like to be alerted to it. Not there's unending possibilities and we're asking the finance department to muse on all the future possibilities. It's more if you've gone out to bid on something or and you have responses, you have quotes, and your intention is to move on it, but it hasn't yet been executed through New World or through our system, we'd like to know that it's coming.
Legislator Ronk, then Walter.
Thanks. I understand the idea behind this resolution. I don't think I can support it because I don't see that it gives us any more recourse to get information from the executive's office than through a request, because there's nothing that says that they have to follow a resolution if they're not following a request. I mean, the recourse that we have is the same whether it's a resolution or an email, which is an administrative subpoena, which we're unlikely to use. So I just don't, you know, again, I think it's well-intentioned. I just don't see the utility, and I think it sets a precedent that we're going to be passing resolutions every time we want a little bit of information from the other side of the office. You know, shame on the executive's office for not getting us the information, but this doesn't help us.
Legislative Walter, then Bartels.
Tracy can go first and answer.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it is different. I don't think this is going to set a precedent where every time we have a question, we're going to create a policy. This is related to what may become a complex project that we already know is going to involve multiple contracts. And as we've seen, it's really hard to aggregate that information when it's coming from all different sectors. You know, we've heard through the course of the debate on the Tech City property the potential for all kinds of different contracts. And so this way, similar to a major capital project like the undertaking of the jail, we get to see what the whole project looks like in one place. You know, I think it's well within our authority to ask Commissioner of Finance for this. And I think codifying it through a policy just makes it a standing request so that we don't have to have our people on a regular basis asking, is there anything new? Is there anything we need to know about? Is there anything new? And constantly scouring the system. This way, we're just getting a regular report on the project. And it may be that some months there's no change. I don't really see the harm in it. I think information is power, and our finance team is working, you know, like overtime to answer all our legislative requests and to do research and to get to, as Lynn Chair Archer said, to peel back the layers to get understanding for us on all these various resolutions. So this is one that would be to some extent taken off their plate, and we'd be provided a monthly update, which I think is a good idea. It's just more information for this committee to be staying on top of that project.
Legislative Walter.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I hear what Legislator Ronk says. In a way, it doesn't, it compels me that maybe in the future we even say any project that could ultimately in aggregate exceed a certain amount, we would need to know, we would want to know. So again, similar to the jail, I get that this is just Tech City, but it may be smart in the future to sort of make another one that really talks about any project that really could exceed, you know, a considerable amount of money, $250,000 or whatever it is. I'd also say that, I mean, personally, I would even take a step to the more conservative than Legislator Bartels had suggested in terms of anticipated. I think, and again, I'll say the same thing I said before, I've bought and sold houses, I've had inspections, I've known what kinds of things are needed, that even if I didn't put it out to bid yet, I think that it's not inconceivable to know what anticipated needs are for this and have some sense of what that cost is. I mean, I think we have the ultimate goal that we don't look back on this in a year or two and discover that, you know, $2 million were sunk into it. And, you know, and I think we're trying to get ahead of that.
Any other comments, questions on the result? Oh, Chair Donaldson?
Yes, I kind of, I don't see really a need for this. I think the information, for one, anything contracts over 50,000, we get anyway. Now, if they want to try to deceive us and break up contracts and make them 48,000 and a whole bunch of them like that, I don't see that happening. And I don't think it's worth their time to do something of that nature. So I don't really see the need for this. I think it's, in other words, you're going down a road where you're going to start doing this. I think Legislator Ronk was right in that, you know, you start going down a road that you're going to keep on doing these, another one, and every project, no matter what it is, we do have oversight. We do have the power of the purse, so the numbers are there. So I don't agree with it.
Well, and I would just say that if we had already received information that we requested on this, which we did shortly last month after approving the electrical connection, we have not received any of the information. We do weekly follow-ups. It's up to the finance team to follow up. It's extra make work for them. And with the crickets, basically, and no response as to, you know, even how long it's going to take, fine, at least tell us, if you're compiling it, what's your anticipated time of delivery. And, you know, in this particular case, given the fact that we know that the building has its challenges and, you know, just even the connection, and that there's additional monies being earmarked for this, I think this is an important resolution. If we can't get the information, we need to legislate to get it. Legislator Bartels.
And to the chairman's point, I mean, I was not in any way alleging deception, but other contracts that are below 50,000 and just barely, which means we don't have to approve, have already made it into the pipeline. They're already moving through. So getting that aggregate number is going to require a serious amount of diligence and follow up on behalf of our finance team. That this would alleviate. This is, you know, it's a simple request, and it would just be a monthly report on the project. And again, there might be months where there's no change, and there might be months where we've spent $150,000 in three small contracts. But I think we would want to know, to Legislator Walter's point, how much we're spending in aggregate, because that number matters in terms of the bigger picture.
But what in this law, what in this resolution makes that they have to give you that information?
It directs the Commissioner of Finance to provide us that information on a monthly basis coming to Ways and Means, and we can direct the Commissioner of Finance to provide us with information. He works for both of us, both the executive and the legislative branches. And I think a policy is the way to do it. That way, it's also not in the middle of anything. He's just been asked formally, in the form of a policy, to give us a monthly report.
So, shouldn't we do this with blacktopping and everything?
No, blacktopping is something we approve.
I'm just giving you an. I mean,
but it's not a relevant. It's not a relevant example. We approve those.
You can turn this into many other things. You can turn it into blacktopping if you want. You can just say, we want to know every time they spend money on blacktopping.
But that's not what's before us. What's before us is Tech City, and that's what we have before us.
And this project, we all know, has a certain level of unknown about it. We don't know, as we open the building and we power it up and we look inside, we face potential costs that range from minor mitigation to major mitigation. And on top of that, it's all going to be connected to a plan, what we're going to do, how much we're going to do in terms of refurbing that building. So it's something that I would like to be able to stay on top of and ahead of without stressing our finance team in a stressed environment already. I mean, they're doing an amazing job, but it's a lot of work. There's a lot of things that we're looking at. We're heading into perhaps one of the worst budget cycles of any of our histories. And this will be one thing, one less thing we have to worry about, because on a regular basis, we'll be just getting an update on this is where we're at. This is the additional expense this month, whether it's a power expense, whether it's an electrical contract, whatever it is. It'll also give us an insight into what the plan is in terms of how we're moving forward with this building.
Okay, on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm opposed.
I'm going to be opposed also.
I'm also opposed. Heidi, thank you.
And what's the count on that? We have 1, 2, 3, 4. Right?
It fails 4-4.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Resolution 231, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2020, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law 5. of 1991, a local law adopting hotel and motel room occupancy tax to clarify the tax law's application of short-term and vacation rentals to be held on Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 at 6:15. Move.
Move.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any questions?
If I may, I have some questions on the text of the local law.
Okay.
The Go first ahead. Question at the bottom page of the bottom paragraph of the first page, it says that the current system has undergenerated funds by at least $500,000 in 2019. I'm wondering where that estimate came from, because that's not consistent with what the finance department has shared with us and has shared with some of the legislators.
Sure, if I may, Chair.
Please.
It's based on Airbnb's report of actual revenue from Ulster County and then multiplying that by the 2%. So it's based on their public report, which I can happily, I think I cite it, but I can make it available to you.
Sure, so you say that their public report was $32 million. So 2% of that would be $640,000. We collected what we estimate to be $400,000 in short-term rental revenue. So that would leave us with a gap of about $240,000. Some uncertainties in our estimates, but.
I'll happily get it to you. I mean, either way, you're considerably under, but I'll provide for you where I did my analysis. Okay, I mean, well, regardless, it's much lower than what we could have achieved.
Certainly we're under-reporting, but we think it's important, or we're under-collecting, but I think it's important that whatever facts we're citing in the legislative intent be accurate.
Absolutely.
Not consistent with our estimates.
I understand.
My second question, the legislative intent seems to suggest that you think that the funding to tourism should be reduced.
Yeah.
But the section on disposition of revenues is increasing it dramatically from the current 10% to 50%.
Yes, I'm sorry, Evelyn. I'm going to just stop you because you're right. When I had done this, I was reviewing and amending was actually one that previous legislators had put forth but ended up pulling. But the way it was written, it was did not show that they were additions. So I had thought that wrongly that the current law was putting all of it towards tourism. And so obviously I thought I had done due diligence. I thought I was actually correcting a wrong that we already had, that 100%. So I'm perfectly happy to move it back to the 10% or 150,000, whichever is higher, to tourism, following that state law, and making that correction before the next Ways and Means meeting. I don't know how I missed the fact that that wasn't an existing policy, but I thought, again, I thought the existing policy was that all of it was going to tourism.
Okay, yeah, as the person who's leading our housing strategy from the executive side, I'm really sympathetic to dedicating funds to housing, but I think this is not the mechanism, especially right now in our budget situation.
Yeah, again, I'm happy to move it back to the other one. I do appreciate that you mentioned that housing is a priority, and I recognize in this budget time it is challenging. Obviously, it relates to the importance of identifying that these short-term rentals are a major factor in our housing problem, and I think it's important to recognize that the growth of these platforms in many ways is contributing to the shortage. But I perfectly trust that we'll move forward in that way based on the initiatives that were put forward in the past. Again, I would just wanted some money for housing and not all tourism, but I misunderstood. So I'll make that correction.
Okay. Well, I think our other big concern with this, and I've shared this with you, Legislator Walter, is that we're in the midst of negotiating with Airbnb, which is by far the biggest source of these short-term rentals for us on contract terms. And we would really prefer that we just continue those contract negotiations and see if we can conclude them rather than having this process to amend the law underway. They've already asked us about this, and we just feel like it's appropriate in terms of the separation of powers that the negotiations of contracts happen on our side, and then, you all get to review them. It just makes us look divided as we're trying to resolve some real issues in the standard language that they put forward for them to see that there's something on the table that could potentially force us to sign a contract that's different than what we're trying to achieve.
I appreciate that. And with that, what I'm going to be proposing for the next time is a additional language. Originally, Legislator Bartels had suggested this, but I had been advised not to include it. But it goes directly along with the negotiations, basically stating that this contract includes, to all extent possible, information regarding the location of the residency and the capacity of the county to audit the platform. I think this will make us look unified and not separate, and will strengthen your negotiation to have a policy behind your argument. And so we will be adding that into the language.
So for that very reason. What you just stated is actually different language than what we've been pursuing with them, and could
potentially... Okay, so we can talk together. Let's talk about what you're trying to pursue. I'm sure it goes along with what it is that we want, and that way we can all look unified. This is why I tried, was hoping to reach out to the executive, over a week before I even put this forth, is because I wanted to get this working as a cooperative effort.
Yes, and so, we've been giving you this feedback all along since
you mentioned this one thing to me just a few days ago, and then I had to consider what to do. So now that we had a chance to talk about it, other people who are supportive of this, we're happy, and if you want to give me, I the language I just said was exactly what was in your email, but I'm happy to work with you. We talked to our council talked to the county council, who did not feel like this was going to be a problem for negotiating at all. And so I think if you let us know what kinds of elements you want, there is no reason why we can't be a unified force here.
So this is really an extraordinary impingement on the power of the executive to negotiate contracts. The reason we have a legal department and a finance department is to work out the details of these contracts and then bring them to the legislature. For the legislature to write a prescription for a contract that the executive then has to sign is a real reversal of that process.
So you've asked me to not, first I did not have specifications on how this discussion could be, and now you're going back and forth. I can keep the language vague so you can have your conversation vague, or I could be specific to give you power. I'm gonna be quiet now and let other people talk.
Well, and I would say that as a legislative body, our role is setting policy, and this is something we clearly feel strongly about from a policy perspective. And so this is policy related and not in the midst of a negotiation. And this had been something that I'm well aware that Legislator Walter had been in discussion with at the beginning of this year. So this is not new. This is something that she has reached out to her and Legislator Uchitel, and they work very hard to be inclusive and collaborative on this. And we would hope that it could be reciprocated.
Well, and I'm letting you know that we're working on exactly what I think we all want, which is to maximize the revenue that we're collecting here while retaining our registration process, while retaining our intermunicipal agreements to share that information with the towns. And we think we're close to a solution. And we think that moving this law forward at this time impairs that. So I'm trying to share with you how I think we can best achieve the goals that you've set out.
Legislator Bartels?
I was just going to echo pretty much what you said, Legislator Archer, and that's, you know, as an issue of policy, this is something that's long been discussed over the course of multiple administrations. It's my understanding that legislators Walter and Uchitel brought this to the executive early in this term, and as a policy, it was finally brought forth to move the issue. The fact that you were in contract discussions without letting us know that seems separate. I mean, it is well within the legislature's authority to set policy, and it's something that we have had significant pushback across administrations on this issue. I'm very happy to hear we're in the same place on this now, but I see this from the opposite perspective you do, not an opinion of the executive's power.
You up?
Any other questions?
Legislator
Walter.
Sorry. Legislator Donson can go, then I'll go.
I actually put this resolution similar to this in quite a while ago, and then it was picked up by Legislator Maloney not too long ago. It was an initiative started requested by the Comptroller Auerbach at the time, and we've been going back and forth with this for quite some time, and so. I do understand, and I'm like Legislator Bartels points out, that I like the idea that we're approaching to be on the same page for a change on this particular issue. But this is a public hearing, so I think we could hear that. But I certainly understand why you feel that it may hurt the negotiations, but I'd like to understand that a little more. I mean, because I support this, you know, I've supported it in the past, and I think it's the way to go. And I think we've left a lot of money on the table over the years. So you're negotiating, but I can't quite understand how you're claiming that this will hurt negotiations. I don't quite understand that.
From our perspective, the current text says whatever contract they put forward, we have to sign. So that weakens our ability to negotiate if they think that we're going to sign whatever they put before us. Whatever language that you craft in there then becomes a straitjacket on us, that any contract that they put forward that fulfills whatever their interpretation of that language is, we then have to go ahead with. So that's very different from saying a policy priority are these things, let's figure out how to achieve that. Respectfully, I just really would like to suggest, I think we can wrap this up soon with them, that you consider postponing this for a month, and if you're not happy with where we are, then pursue it.
Legislative Walter.
Thank you. So I want to reiterate again that our council and the county council both did not feel that this would become a problem for negotiation. I also want to add, Airbnb is a massive corporation. They did not allow any sharing of information in the past. If they're allowing it now, this is what they do. They do it. It's not like Ulster itself is some unique major thoroughbred in the world of short-term rentals. Granted, we're one of the biggest in New York State, but either Airbnb lets this happen or it doesn't. The fact that Airbnb is now letting this happen is because Airbnb now lets this happen. And again, there has been evidence that says that Airbnb is more supportive of these kinds of contracts if there are laws that are encouraging it. That said, I don't think we'll pigeonhole you. I think it's very easy to write the correct language that's saying that this is what we would like to see happen as opposed to require to see happen. And I, again, I'll just stand by the fact that I think this will help your negotiations. I'm so glad that you guys started this once you found out that this resolution was put forward. I'm glad that pushed you to doing it. So now let's just cross the finish line together.
Okay, on the legislator Ronk.
Thank you. I don't think a month hurts us, and I think that having both sides of government being on the same page, I also, wouldn't oppose a little bit more time for my council to look over this. Nick Pascal was legislative counsel in several years and minority counsel for several years while probably 14 or 15 different versions of this kind of a law were put forward. So I at this time would make a motion that we postpone this for a month.
Let me, may I speak on that?
Yes,
Let's see if
Chair Donaldson.
I want to not speak on the postponement at this point. I just want to speak on the issue, if you don't mind, Ken.
All right, so I'll withdraw my motion, I guess, until that. Right.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Well, I mean, if we're talking right now that we're going to be changing this and they're going back and forth about changing the language in it before it even comes out, then I don't see why we would move forward with it if the language is not solid on the way it was, we all agreed on. So my mindset is I agree that it should be postponed for the 1 month. But I mean, I think give it the month and figure out where we're going to go with it. But I mean, I do want to follow through.
Legislator Walter, then Bartels.
So as I mentioned, we do have a Ways and Means meeting next week. It's a very small changes. I'm happy to get them to everyone by tomorrow morning. The Republican caucus, you can have your attorneys look at it, the executive's office. But I feel confident that by next week we can have a version that's we're all set with.
Legislator Bartels.
So I'd like to make a motion that we postpone it for one week.
Hold on. No. In a very friendly manner, withdrew my motion.
Yes.
Now we're going to make another motion.
Okay, we could do yours first.
Yes.
I'm just saying I'd like to see it be 1 week. If that's what the sponsor wants, I'd like to see it be 1 week, and then we could see where we're at next week.
Well, I think we should let Ken Rock make his motion.
I'd like to make a motion again that we postpone this for 1 month. I think that, we've had, several proposals from the Republican caucus, several proposals that have been sponsored by members of both caucuses that, members on your side of the aisle wanted more time on, and all of a sudden now there's a proposal that's put forth by a member of the Democratic caucus and, a month is too long, but a week is fine. I just, at this time, again, reiterate my motion for a 1 month postponement.
On the motion, a second?
Oh, no, I'm not.
I second it.
Okay, Legislator Bartels?
I guess a point of order. I believe our rules allow for a postponement until the next meeting, which is next week.
Fine. We've done it before from this committee, but whatever.
We've typically done it for 1 week, and then if the following week we postpone it for a month. So let's.
That doesn't match my recollection. That having been said, whatever.
I don't agree with that either. I think you could postpone something for a month if you did. It's a month to the next meeting of the Ways and Means. Ways and Means meets twice, so if you can postpone for a week, but I believe you could postpone for the month to the following Ways and Means meeting. At least that's my recollection of it.
You could pull it up. I think it says until the next meeting.
Let's just, regardless of, what we've done in the past and what's good for the goose being good for the gander, I'm fine with postponing it for a week, and then I'll make a motion to postpone it to the next meeting, and then at the next meeting I'll make a motion we postpone it to the next meeting. If it's just going to take more time, but that's fine. I just, whatever.
On the postponement for 1 week, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay, now we're going to go back to the legislative programs, the legislative contracts. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review the responses that we got from all the organizations. I'm hoping today that we will be able to make some decisions and bring some clarity and closure in some cases here. And so I'm proposing that as we go through each of these and decision them, I would ask that, we've had a lot of conversation over the past several months, and let's keep it to new quotes or new insights that we didn't have before, and see if we can, get through all of these tonight. Okay. So, Resolution 129, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into agreement with Awareness, Inc. For $12,500 to provide peer-to-peer educational programs oriented toward youth offenders who receive substance abuse-related sentences. Move.
Wait, what's the motion? Just to discuss?
Just, yes.
I move to discuss.
Second?
A second.
Okay.
Can I?
Yes.
Are we going to, we're going to go through one by one. I don't know if it's helpful to have a general conversation about how people are approaching this, or are we just, you want to go through one at a time? I don't know.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I mean, I know in the past we've had conversations. Legislator Ronk at one point said he would consider not funding any of them. Then there were others that said it was going to be based on code. I mean, we've had all different approaches to this, and I know it's going to be individual, but I'm just interested to see how people are coming at this. Oh, but if we want to do it one at a time, we could do it that way too.
Legislative Walter?
Yeah, thank you. So because they each provided us with feedback, my intent was, if I feel like going through one at a time, because so that we can deal with the feedback that we got, especially because they were different. A couple of them made suggestions of actual cuts. Some of the feedback was stronger than others. And so that we give due diligence to the feedback they gave us, my feeling is to go through each one.
Okay, everybody okay with that?
Yeah, I said, yeah. Could you, could we bring out the feedback as we go along? I think that,
or take it in the order of the feedback so we can scroll easily, because if we're, otherwise we're, it's all, it, the feedback's not in order for the resolutions.
I thought the PDF is pretty much, isn't it?
Well, it starts with Artemid Hudson.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Now, was that PDF sent out? When was the PDF sent out?
It was sent out. Who sent that out? Amber or Natalie?
Amber.
Amber sent it out. Amber, when did you send it out? So Dave's trying to find it. Pardon me?
It was Amber sent it out last Thursday.
Last Thursday.
Also in the OneDrive in the meeting materials.
I think it's kind of hard for them to do OneDrive and stay on. So, okay, so we're doing, are you suggesting that we go through and do it according to the feedback that we got, which means we would go to...
We'd start with Artsman Hudson.
Yeah, well, now I got to find it. Artsman Hudson is resolution 137. Okay, their current recommended funding for Artsmith Hudson is $90,000. Did everybody get a chance to review their comments?
I have a question.
Yes, Heidi.
I might ask. Hey, Dave, please. Also Chairman, is this the original ask from last year? Or was that what we came up with through legislative programs?
It was the what they asked for. But they, it's what they asked for.
Originally?
Yeah, but I don't know if we gave the full amount that they, the extra that they asked for.
Last year, 2019, they requested 90. They were awarded 84.5. This year, they requested 90. And that was what was originally awarded.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple of ways that I was thinking about this, and I'll just put it out there for consideration. In some cases, some of the organizations came back, and in the spirit of the 10% cut that's being done across the county, some of the organizations came back saying that they'd be willing to cut 10%. So that's an option. We can look at the last 4 months of COVID as potentially a reduction in the amount, so one third of the funding, or it could zero out. So those are just some options to think about as we go through this. Chairman Donaldson.
But what's going to happen is once we come out of the COVID situation, they're going to be kicking into overdrive for dealing with the ARDS throughout Ulster County. So I don't know if they had, you could consider that the COVID is going to reduce their need. I don't see that necessarily happening, but it could. But we could actually, the 10% or return to the amount of budget from the year before. They do have a, what they do is they do capacity building, and then they also do some that are by our policy. We created the policy on how they divvy out the grants to the individual artists. And we, I believe 80% of it is capacity building, and 20% is that of it's sustainable. Like, for instance, I use Catskill Ballet. They put on a ballet, and they bring children in from all over the county to go see it. That would normally not see a ballet. So that is not part of the capacity building. Whereas when we, the best one is the Festival of the Voice when we first done that one, that was capacity building. We gave them more and more money for websites and such. So, I don't know if I'd say cutting one third of them would be very healthy.
Legislative Walter, then Legislator Ronk.
Yeah. So it's interesting. This was not one of, they aren't doing direct COVID stuff with support right now, which is true when some of the other ones are. But they're also, when I thought about them, they're really one of the only ones who do what they do. Because I had that other criteria of some of the other organizations. There were other sources of whatever service they provided. They're really among the only ones that do what they do. And often, you know, the arts are so challenged in so many ways. So I would support the idea of perhaps a 10% cut or bringing them to their original, recognizing that they did not have the expenditures that they normally would have had during COVID, but trying to still keep them at a high enough level so that they can do that work. So I would propose a 10%.
Legislator Ronk?
I would second the 10%.
Legislator Ronk?
Yeah, thanks. I would go for a much larger cut, you know, in that we've given them several increases over the last several years as well. You know, $90,000 is a lot of money. I understand that it's a tough time for these organizations, but it's also a tough time for, you know, the county budget. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. we have to, you know, in addition to looking at, in addition to looking at what the organization is going to need moving forward, we also need to think about what our organization, being the taxpayers of Ulster County, are going to be facing in November. And I, you know, when I make these decisions, I think about, you know, the people whose homes we're going to have to sell in tax foreclosure, and ask myself, would I be able to look that person in the face and tell them that everything that was funded was a necessity when we had to take their home away, and you know, if we have to raise taxes or you know, reduce other essential services. I just, you know, I don't see this as a necessity.
Chair Donaldson.
Well, you have to understand also this is a necessity. There is, in some ways, it is a necessity for those people that are getting some of these grants. Otherwise, they will not exist. And it also creates a situation of tourism. This is a large part of the tourism attraction of Ulster County is the arts. And understand that we used to actually fund the arts more than twice that amount at the beginning of this century. And we cut that back. We've been slowly trying to get the funding back into the arts to a point where we can be competitive with others. And that's just like economic development. This is the competitive nature in some ways for us to get people to come here, and they do come here. So because of it, and there are many people that show up in Kingston, new people talk about the idea. The reason they want to stay here is they're impressed with the culture and the arts that is showing in this small county. So I think it's a rather large attraction for us. So I really don't want to be cutting the arts at this point.
May I say something? I'm from the Pine Hill Shandaken area.
Excuse me, it's not open for discussion, please.
Okay, thank you.
Mary Beth, Legislator Mayo.
Thank you. I agree with Ken that, you know, we have to do cuts. I understand the 10% from the executive's office, but I don't think that relates to the funding of these programs. I'm almost thinking we should start at a 50% cut and kind of negotiate from there. These are tough months we're going into, and I get they all need, and we all have our favorites, and we all going to say the same thing that we have. You know, they need this. They all need it. I get it. That's why we gave them the money in the first place, but it's not easy. Everybody's going to have to be very creative, and we're going to have to come up with different ideas on how to do this, but I think we should start at 50% and kind of go from there, and it would be across the board, and I think that would be fair.
Legislative Walter.
Thanks. I agree with Legislator Ronk. I do want to look my constituents in the eye either who are having trouble paying for their housing and tell them that I kept everything. We've only gone to the first one. I assure you, I don't advocate for 10% for all of them at all. There are several that I'm personally going to advocate to cut completely or much more extreme. That's why we asked for that feedback from them. This happens to be the example of the one that I'm suggesting 10%, but by no means is that will I be continuing that for every single program? So I think we cannot worry about us walking away from this saying that we didn't really cut anything.
Legislator Bartels.
Yes, I mean, I think the arts is critical for our county and for the, particularly for the environment that existed just pre-COVID. I think this year is going to be a really interesting year in terms of tourism and attracting people. Some of what the chair has spoken about, you know, we've heard about the possibility of a second wave. We're carefully watching the opening. We're looking at the numbers daily to make sure that activity doesn't create a spike. My understanding is that a lot of this was used for individual artists' grants. While that's been put on hold, according to their own response, they said they would use this for advocacy for applying for grants in 2021 and then use the rest of this money as the only funding for certain art programs that might otherwise not receive anything. I'm approaching this very similar, Ken's earlier response, just in terms of housing. You know, we heard earlier last month, the executive started an initiative repurposing the CDBG money for $180,000 rent assistance program. And when you think about that in relation to 180,000 residents, I know there's multiple residents in each house, but I really am worried that we're going to face, serious homelessness, both in terms of the renters and people facing losing their homes as a result, not just of increased taxes, but the rest of the circumstances facing them. So I think we have to be pretty aggressive in terms of the way that we're approaching this for this year only. I mean, I hope that it puts us in a better place for next year, but just for this year, I'm very concerned. I think a 10% cut is too little.
A 10% cut, just for everybody so you know what numbers we're working with. They're currently at 90. 10% would take them to 81. They received 84.5 last year. And if we went with the third, given that 4 months have been tied up with, self-isolation, et cetera, that would be a $30,000 cut. So just so you have a frame of reference of the different funding points as we go forward. And how we do this sets the tone for the next, because if we take this amount of time with each of these, not to say they're not important, but we've spent an inordinate amount of time. And what we cannot emphasize enough is that we continue to have we're going to continue to have pressure on revenues, which is what supports some of these programs. And we've got people in our communities that are not working without jobs. So I recognize that everybody's feeling the pain, and I think that should hold true here as well. So I just set that for conversation. Chair Donaldson.
The problem is, as I've seen again and again, when you start cutting the arts, they don't come back for quite a long time. The last time when they were cut back in 2006, it took 10 years before they started getting back to about 8 years before they actually started getting back to funding at a decent level. So it doesn't happen overnight. And what ends up happening is, like I said, they stay cut. And that's what ends up happening. And we belittle the idea of what the arts really do. We can't just throw them away. And as Legislator Walters pointed out, they are the only ones that do this. It's a coordinated effort. They coordinated all the art. They coordinate the artists throughout this county, no matter where they are. That's part of the job that they do. So I, like Legislator Walters said, some of these that I have no reason to fund. In fact, there's new ones that were added last year that I don't feel they needed to be added. I mean, if we were fat with money, it'd be a different game. But it would
I
not.
Think, I think we've all kind of said some of the same things. I think we've got to get to the point now where we need to decide how we're going to move forward.
Well, Legislator Walters made a motion for 10%, and I seconded it.
Can I just add one little thing? It's just that I want to just add that it is an economic driver, that a lot of this, they may be artists that don't have huge salaries, but that's their job here in this county. And some of these aren't supporting a lot of people, but this actually does support a lot of people economically as their job. So I just wanted to add that piece because it hadn't been said. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I made that motion.
So we have a motion on the table for a 10% cut. Legislator Rump.
Can I just ask a procedural question? And maybe I missed something somewhere along the way, but originally this was done in a joint meeting of Ways and Means and Legislative Programs, and we were going to take it on a night that's not on our regular agenda. And now we seem to be rushing through it, you know, prior to a public hearing. I just don't know where that came from.
Well, I maybe I misunderstood, but based on that joint meeting, it was to be decided at the next meeting, and what all we asked for was additional information from the organizations. There was never going to be a second special meeting. It was to be decided, and it was agreed by the chair of legislative programs that this would be the deciding body to make the decisions on how we proceed based on the feedback we got from the organizations.
Okay. Just on the amendment, I think it's too low. I'll be voting no. I tend to agree with Mary Beth. I think that a 50% cut is a place to, I think a 50% cut is what we should be looking at with many of the organizations. I don't think all of them. I think that some of them should be eliminated completely this year. But, we're going to have to do more with less. We're likely going to have staffing cuts at the county. And I'm not going to be able to look those employees in the eye and tell them, sorry that we had to cut your $30,000 position in, a recreation department, but, the arts are more important.
Okay. On the resolution for a 10% cut, all in favor?
Aye.
So I see two in favor, Dave and Eve. Okay. All opposed?
I'm opposed.
Okay. So what do we believe is a number that we can live with? I'll make a motion to do the one third, which would be $30,000 cut.
And I'll submit that for discussion.
How many artists go out on the street for that?
Legislator Bartels.
Well, I mean, I just, with all due respect, Chair Donaldson, I think, we're trying to work through this to suggest that artists are going to go out on the street as, these are tough decisions. We may have employees that have to be let go.
Everybody's talking about people losing their houses and things like that, but they're not talking about how this affects these individuals.
No doubt. I think we all take that very seriously. I mean, much of what was funded with the Ulster County funding last year in terms of the art programs were performance-related art, which probably will not be allowed to happen this year, being realistic. It's very unlikely that we'll have theaters open, with large crowds. So, I think we're all struggling with this, and it's a challenge. I mean, it would certainly be easier to pick a number and then go from that number. But the problem is that I think, Chair Archer, to your point, I think this is going to be hard. I think we're going to go through each one, and it's going to be a struggle. There might be a couple that are super easy because they're obvious, but most of them are going to be really difficult. Cutting is not, I don't take it lightly, but I also, and I take all the artists who are going to be affected by it very, very seriously. But I think there are a lot of things to consider.
Right. And I'd like to remind everybody that to a person from the governor on down, everybody said, this is going to be tough this year, but it's going to be even tougher next year. And so I just put it out there. Nobody wants to do this, but we're in this situation. We've got to make some tough decisions. So did I have a second on the 1/3?
I seconded it.
Okay. All in favor on the 1/3?
Can I just say on the 1/3, yes, I still think please. It's too low, but I think that compromise is important, and 30% is an amount that I could live with this time.
Okay. All in favor of the $30,000?
Right.
Opposed? We have two opposed. Is that three. Correct? John and Dave and Eve. Motion passes $30,000 reduction. Okay, the next one.
We have a public hearing.
Oh, okay.
We have five more minutes.
We'll have to step out. I do plan on reconvening after the public hearing. So for the members of Ways and Means, Legislative Walter.
I'm just, since we have five more minutes, I figured we can we keep talking on this one, on the awareness?
Can I just tell you that I don't know if everybody's, but my phone is saying it's 6:05.
I was told the public hearing was at 6:10.
I mean, when I...
We have three of them, 6:05, 6:10, and 6:20.
Okay, so I guess we'll
I'll take a motion to adjourn and reconvene
Ask staff real quick if reconvening is going to be a problem?
They've already been notified. I gave them a heads up on this. So
technically it's not a problem. There's some notice things that are a little bit sketchy because we've noticed caucus to start at a certain time and we didn't say that we'd be reconvening. There's nothing illegal or anything like that about what we're doing. And technically we can do it.
Is it possible that somebody essentially stays on so that if anybody calls in or wants to, they'll know that we'll be coming back?
No, we with our license, we're allowed to run one meeting at a time.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Are you opposed to taking up to making our meeting earlier next week and taking up this discussion at that time?
I agree. I agree with that combined set. I think we should be doing that. I mean, instead of trying to rush through these things, it's not going to be easy to do.
So we are not going to get them through them next week either. And at the end of the day, right. I think dragging this out.
We'd have a special meeting on dealing with this. I think that's the way to go with it.
Legislative Ronk.
Thanks. I specifically said to start the meeting earlier, perhaps 4:00. And then that would give us the chance to get through them. It would give us 2 hours to get through them because we don't have that many things postponed to our next Ways and Means meeting either. So I just feel like the responsible thing to do is to give ourselves that time.
Well, I thought the responsible thing to do would be to see this through and have the conversations. Will everyone be able to start early? Legislative Bartels.
I just don't think four. I mean, I'm okay with moving it to earlier, but I think that four is not going to be enough time. I think we're going to be pressed with all of our regular business. I'd rather move it earlier. I'd rather have it, 3:00, even 2:30, and then we take a break if we're done, because I'd hate to get started and then have to cut ourselves off for regular business. It just feels like it would be.
Yeah. Legislator Haynes.
I have a day job. And I'm not saying that other people don't, but I had planned to reconvene as per our agenda, and that's what I'd like to do. I feel like we've been kicking this down the road long enough. Sorry. I know it's going to be a long haul.
Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out we did have a Democratic caucus scheduled this evening. I'm willing to move it if it's the will of the, you know, Ways and Means Committee to reconvene.
Yeah.
But just, I just need to know so I can let our caucus members know out of respect to them.
Yeah, thank you. Legislative Walter.
Well, that changes it a little. I mean, I was going to either suggest we reconvene, and then if we're still run out of time before the caucus, have a separate time scheduled for this as opposed to extending the Ways and Means. But that changes if we are going to not caucus. So
I would prefer to reconvene. That's what we gave everybody a week's a notification on this, that we really wanted to get through this. And I just feel it's fair to all the organizations that submitted their all the questions we've asked and the information we've requested. I think we need to come to some resolution. Legislator Wrong.
Thanks. I don't know that I'll be able to reconvene with you, so I won't be able to participate in the conversation. You know, and if that's the will, then that's the will.
Yeah. Well, we have public hearings. We got to move on this.
Yeah, let's.
I mean, talking about day jobs, I'm at work right now, but I'm taking this time away, you know, to do this. The assembly is in session. They weren't expected to be in session until, you know, well after the week notice that you gave that you intended to reconvene. So it is what it is.
Okay. We're going to end up with someone not here, because if it's not today, it's going to be next Tuesday, and it's going to be the same issue. So I leave it to the majority. Legislator Guevaras, let's hear your opinion on this.
So maybe the way to do this is, since we're going to have so many differing opinions, is create an Excel sheet that we all can work off of. We put our, what we're comfortable with doing, and seeing how many people are on board. And just like Legislator Wrong did before, he compromised and went to 30%. Or 33% for his vote, where he was really at 50%. He may be able to jump on board if we do that in advance of next week's meeting. We do meet at 4:00. We may have enough time to get through this.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, I made a recommendation at the beginning, which is either 0, 10% or a third of the funding, and you know, we'll try to put something out there and have everybody take a look at it.
With all due respect, you don't make that decision.
I'm not making it. I offered it up as an alternative to me, Donaldson.
Hey, I'm talking about what John said makes sense. We do a spreadsheet with what they're funded in right now, and then everybody put in what they should be funded at, or where they want to do the cuts, if they want to make it a 0, or if they want to be 50%, or whatever that may be. Let them make that decision. I don't think it should be a 10 or a third or something. That's up to each individual. So I think that makes the most sense, because then we could actually come before, and we'll have something there. And, I mean, some of them, like Legislator Bartels pointed out, some of them maybe no-brainers for a lot of us, and say, yeah, we definitely have to cut that. So that would give us at least an idea, and we'd have something before us, and I think that makes the most sense. And that way we can probably get through it if we meet at 4:00.
All right, we will take a motion to adjourn. We'll reconvene on this matter next Tuesday at 4:00.
Thank you.